Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's time for the Wednesday edition of the Daily 10, the only Atlanta podcast with all the stuff that you guys care about most right here in this 10-minute sports capsule of ours. If you would, hit the subscribe button or follow this podcast wherever you get your favorite pods. It'll be waiting for you each and every day around 10 a.m. As we make our way to SEC Championship Saturday, we'll start with the football. But I will tease you, Braves fans, with, I guess I could call it a rumor or a report that doesn't exactly make me feel great about the Freddie Freeman situation. We'll get to that coming up in a couple of minutes. But we'll start with the Georgia stuff. Georgia remains a 6.5-point favorite against Alabama Saturday at 4 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you're still hemming and hawing over tickets and checking the secondary market, as of this morning, get-in prices were about $350. One secondary ticket site projects that Georgia will have 68% of the fans in the building, Bama 32%. The expensive tickets, the like really good, were at the 40, 50, were downstairs, still going for 700 to 1,000. Club-level seats and the real fancy pants seats, somewhere in the 1,500 to 2,000 range. So decide if you want to use that Christmas gift, maybe on some tickets this weekend. Here's the other good news. The weather is supposed to be perfect. Kickoff temperature, 70 degrees in Atlanta on December the 4th, which I guess would tell me the roof would be open at Mercedes-Benz. It would also mean an incredible tailgating day. You could even argue maybe 10 degrees cooler in December would be great, but it's, again, hard to argue about 70-degree temps mid-afternoon on December 4th, so weather will be great. The final meaningless college football playoff rankings were released last night. Again, I say meaningless because the committee tells us each poll is independent of the next. None of them really will matter until everybody's full resume is on display. So when we hear this team has to jump that team or this team could get hurt by something that happens next week, it's not supposed to be the case because they're all supposed to be their own chapters, not continuous parts of a book. Georgia remained number one. Michigan is now number two. Alabama, three. And Cincinnati, four. Oklahoma State, five. And Notre Dame, six. Those are the six teams that you can find a path to making the college football playoff. Here's the path. We know, again, Georgia's path is already laid out. They're going to the playoff no matter what. Michigan's path is simple. Beat Iowa. They're in. Alabama's path is simple. Beat Georgia. They're in. Cincinnati's, I guess, is a little tricky. The easiest part is beat Houston and not let anything crazy happen, and they should be in. But then there's Oklahoma State, who, if they beat Baylor and win the Big 12 championship, if Georgia beats Alabama, they could also make a great case for getting in. Then there's Notre Dame, whose season is done and now has nothing else they can add. I did find one part of this last night's kind of interesting. The college football playoff chairman, Gary Barta, said the committee's protocols do include both player and coach availability, i.e. Brian Kelly, who left Notre Dame to take the LSU head coaching job, could be a factor in the final rankings. I hate that for the players. I think that's bogus. I mean, at this juncture in college football, there's a chance Brian Kelly could have gotten COVID and not been available. Would they have held that against Notre Dame? I would judge them on their body of work compared to everybody else. Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, could be the interim coach. I don't know. That to me would feel like a gut punch that is not fair to those kids. But again, Barta brought that up last night. We'll see how it plays out over the final week. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. If you want to go watch all your championship playoff action on Saturday, if you're not going downtown, how about downtown Woodstock on Main Street? That's where you'll find the Daily Draft. What you'll see when you walk through the doors, flat screens everywhere, a view of every great championship game you want to see, a craft beer bar, self-serve taps, a chef-inspired menu, and I want to stop right there because that chef-inspired menu, it's different than your typical deep-fried sports bar. This is great menu items, salads and sandwiches and flatbreads and wings and burgers, all of it just wonderfully made. So you can enjoy that. And when you go in for lunch Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 3, if you mention this podcast, The Daily 10, they're going to take 10% off your lunch order. Again, go to thedailydraft.net for more. Check out the menu items, some of the great nights like Kids Eat Free Nights, Trivia Nights, all of it available online at thedailydraft.net. Go see them downtown Woodstock on Main Street. Okay, back to Georgia. Something we had mentioned here on the podcast for a moment yesterday and on social media. And on the radio, actually. So it would be impossible to compare teams era to era in college sports just because so many things have changed. The type of athlete, the rules of the game. Just top to bottom, all of it is different. I mean, much better coaching now, more creative play calling. So it's hard to do the offense compared to 1979 football as to 2021. I would say the same thing about the defensive side of the ball. All that being said, Georgia is putting themselves in the discussion to be discussed as one of the greats, if not the greatest defense of all time. How does that happen? If they can finish this off with three more defensive gems against Alabama starting Saturday, and then whomever lines up in the playoff, whether that's Oklahoma State or Michigan or Cincinnati or Notre Dame, whomever. If Georgia does that, I don't know how you would, you know, do the rankings, because again, I don't know what the 92 Bama defense or the, you know, Nebraska defenses of the 80s or whatever the great defenses were of all time, how they would project playing in different eras. But the answer is kind of meaningless, and the order would be meaningless. The fact that you're in the discussion already, if you're Georgia's one of the great defenses of all times, that kind of says everything. I remember we had this exact conversation, but it was flipped about LSU's offense just 2 years ago. The LSU offense was being described as the greatest of all time, and maybe it was. It's the greatest I've ever seen, but again, it's hard to compare it to running-based offenses of the 80s or, you know, option offenses of the 60s or 70s. But the fact that we can have the conversation about LSU's offense being one of the greats, if not the greatest of all time, it says enough. It's the same about Georgia. Georgia's defense has pitched three shutouts this season. The defense also shut out UAB. They only scored because of a pick six. Georgia didn't give up an offensive touchdown against Missouri. They allowed just one touchdown against South Carolina, Florida, and Auburn, and a weird touchdown to Charleston Southern that happened after an interception on a fumble return. The only two teams that were able to score two offensive touchdowns in a game against this Georgia defense were Tennessee and Kentucky, and it took them forever to get the second touchdown. They both scored in garbage time, really late, when they were really trying to score against mostly backups for Georgia. Now, they still happened and they still count, but the context of it, it does matter. And I would add one more element to this as Georgia tries to add another notch in their belt defensively against Alabama. I wonder how much we're supposed to be paying attention to an Alabama offense, which Bryce Young is as good as advertised. He's that legit. But it's an Alabama offense that cannot run the ball, has a banged-up starting running back, has interior offensive line issues. They scored only 20 points against LSU a few weeks ago, and they were held scoreless for three quarters against Auburn last week and didn't score a touchdown until the final minute of the game. That's supposed to be an indicator a little bit of what's going on there. And Georgia's defense, we know, is just leaps and bounds better than Auburn's and LSU. So we'll see if that translates into the game coming up on Saturday. All right, I told you I wanted to get to some Braves stuff. The Braves' hot stove, it's been kind of warm, right? They got deals done yesterday with Guillermo Heredia to bring him back for $1 million, a two-year deal for Orlando Arcia for just depth for $3 million. Braves also decided to non-tender Rich Rodriguez and Johan Camargo. Again, not huge surprises there. The offseason additions have been Manny Pena as the backup catcher, Kirby Yates as kind of a buy-low bullpen arm with some high upside if he can be healthy. With the clock ticking now on the collective bargaining agreement, which will expire tonight at 11:59 p.m., get ready to say hello to a lockout tomorrow, which means any Freddie Freeman contract discussion will be put on hold, just like the rest of Major League Baseball, when it comes to transactions, free agents, trades, all of it, until these two sides hammer out a new CBA. So here's the note I wanted to mention to you guys, and I don't know what to make of it. I'm hoping it's just due diligence. John Heyman, Baseball Insider, tweeted last night, the Braves have checked in on A's star first baseman Matt Olson, presumably as a contingency plan in case Freddie Freeman leaves via free agency. Most still have a hard time envisioning Freeman in any other uniform, but the Braves want to be prepared. So as I said, I'm hopeful it's just due diligence. And let me be clear, Matt Olson's a really good player. He's also a local product. He's young. He's affordable. Like, Matt Olson in a lot of situations would be great. But not at the cost, in my opinion, of losing Freddie Freeman. The 32-year-old who's about to get a six-year deal for somewhere in the neighborhood of $180 million, maybe more. That always is reason for concern for some teams. And you're the Braves, and Liberty Media has a certain number that you're going to spend. I'm sure Alex Anthopoulos has to take that into consideration. At the same time, the price of doing business with the face of your franchise, who just helped you win a World Series, one you haven't won in a quarter of a century, the same guy that won an MVP a year ago, that took the torch from Chipper Jones when he retired, guess what? You on the front side of signing one of these long-term deals are going to have to admit to yourself, there's a chance that years 5 and 6, we might not be getting the player we're paying $30 million for at that point. Some of that is mitigated by the thought of having a DH in the National League as a helpful backup to a 37, 38-year-old who I know first base may be not the most difficult on the body, but at the same time, having the option to DH can help. I think the PR part of this, which is not why Alex has to make a move, but it's not something that can be ignored. After you just won a championship, Freddie's still in the prime of his career, playing at a very high level, shows you no reasons to believe he's going to slow down or the body will break down. To me, it's a no-brainer. But at the same time, I thought it was a no-brainer a year ago in the offseason. I thought it was a no-brainer in spring training or during the season. And as we sit here today, we've now reached December and there's no deal done with Freddie Freeman. So can I feel ultimately confident? I have some reservations, some doubts. I don't know why the deal's not done. So the due diligence on Matt Olson might make some sense. But it also gives me pause that Freddie Freeman could be in another uniform, and I hate that thought, and I really do. All right, if you guys would, hit the subscribe button or follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite pods, and this will be waiting for you each and every day around 10 a.m. If you would, leave us some feedback as well, one of those great 5-star reviews or ratings. We would love all that from you guys. I will be on the radio this afternoon in Atlanta at 2 o'clock, and we're back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.